Hey, I'm ready.
Welcome back, everybody, to Bad Film Good, the podcast where we look at poorly rated movies and we ask the question. Oh, Jesus Christ. Fucking hell, that was so loud in my ears. Oh, my God, that was like a jump scare. I really hope that's not going to be too bad for anyone who might have their headphones on. Made me jump. It was so sudden. Keep it in.
Scared.
Yeah.
He's scared.
We actually asked the question, is this bad film good? But my name is Declan.
And I'm...
I thought you were like, that was my impression of that song.
Yeah. I'm a SpongeBob reference.
You're Aiden insert SpongeBob reference.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very, Aiden very clever pants. Aiden.
Aiden Bob SquarePants.
Aiden Bob Sponge Pen. Aiden. But yeah, today, in case you couldn't tell with our subtly hidden clues, we're going to be looking at SpongeBob SquarePants, Sponge on the Run.
Secret formula.
Huh? That's good. That's really good. Screw you, Krabs.
I can't do him shouting. I can only.
But yeah, that's really, really good. Do it again.
Secret formula. Yeah.
Oh man, but before we get into all that wonderful planktoning, why don't you tell us what is shrekking this week?
Oui, monsieur, j'adore ananas.
God, fucking French Aiden is back. I thought we got rid of this guy.
I locked him away, but he somehow got out of the basement.
Slippery.
He's slippery. French. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. It's all the garlic oil or something. It's a stereotype about France. It's all the baguettes? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll go with it.
Yeah.
They call those baguette wrists. I don't know.
It's the return, baby, of William Steig's Shrek, but Aiden ordered the wrong one and it's in French.
Oh,
hell.
Okay, yeah. All right. I'm sitting comfortably.
Are you sitting comfortably? Are you tucked in?
I just told you I am.
Are you sitting comfortably, though?
No, I was lying. I'm not actually sitting very comfortably.
Yeah, I fucking knew
but
it.
Now I've adjusted myself and I am.
Okay, well, as long as you're sat comfortably, then I can read you this bedtime story and then tuck you in.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So
this will be a sleep podcast where they listen to a sleep.
Yeah. It's like the Rainfall podcast. It's like Rainfall and like thunder noises and then just like... Every now and then, there's, like, me reading a page of a French children's book.
And me going...
Yeah. right, so last time, like, where we left our humble adventurer. He'd met a witch, and I haven't got it written down what actually happened.
I was going to say, I don't remember from the recap.
It's all in French. But... Yeah, so... we get introduced to Shrek. He gets kicked out by his parents. They're like, get the fuck out of here. You gotta live in your own swamp. He goes on a hike.
Drama.
He comes across a witch and she says, ussy cussy.
I feel like that probably caught us last time.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
But I've forgotten, so it's just as funny this time.
I don't know what it means, and it didn't translate it to anything, so it's just ussy-cussy.
I think that's what it means. I think that's it. Yeah. That's just ussy-cussy.
and then she says...
What would you do? What would you do? You walk up and somebody looks at you and just points at you and shouts, ussy-cussy. They're just like, ussy-cussy.
I'd be like, I'm leaving.
With like that French, like, ussy-cussy.
Ussy-cussy. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know. I don't speak French. And they're like, no, it's not. It doesn't mean anything. I don't speak
you're
French
like, oh,
either.
You're English. Yeah,
yeah, like, I don't know what that means.
No, just calling you an ussy-cussy, honestly.
Right. So he comes across a witch. She tells him to do something, which I can't remember. And then...
We find our humble Shrek. He's walking in a field of wheat.
Oh.
And, I mean, every time I'm half tempted to read the French version first, but then I realize there's absolutely no point. Because I'll butcher it and it will make no sense to
me. It's kind of, I mean, it's funny enough listening to you read anything in English, but in French. In French would actually be quite entertaining. And I'd never know if you got the words wrong because I don't speak French.
Yeah, yeah. Only someone that speaks French is like, oh my God, this guy. It's bad enough in English.
Who speaks French nowadays, huh?
Got him. Okay, so, il racontait bientôt un paysan qui chantait en manette la foule.
I can definitely tell that's bad.
Yeah, all right. So he comes across a guy with a scythe, and he's cutting down some wheat.
Ooh.
And the guy looks a bit shook, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Because he's like, he's just going about his day, and then suddenly Shrek comes, and he's like, hey, what the? Give me a wheat. And he's like, what the fuck is this guy?
Or the equivalent of that in French.
Yeah.
Like a French Scottish Shrek.
Un ladé.
Je suis le bonbon.
Yeah. Or something like that. Right?
That's French, wasn't it?
Okay, so it says, he soon met a peasant who was singing while wielding a scythe. Tell me, peasant. Oh, sorry.
He wasn't tell me, peasant.
No, yeah, no, it does. It's translated a bit weird, but... tell me, peasant, why do you look so happy? Shrek asked him. The peasant mumbled his reply. I am happy to reap the harvest, and I don't know why. I love the harvest until very late. I have a lot to do before tonight. So, good.
Honestly, I was expecting, like, so fuck off or something.
Yeah, so fuck off. Right, and then we get the next bit. I've got a 2-page special for you.
Ooh.
Because what I did, usually I type out the whole thing and then put it into Google Translate and then translate it that way. And then I realized I can just take a picture on my phone and it will do it for me in like 3 seconds.
In the fucking stunning future technology.
Yeah, which is obviously a blessing, but then it's also like I spent fucking hours doing that like before. right, because then what happens? The guy's like, so I'm just cutting my bloody hay, mate. Get out of here. And then Shrek, like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I guess we'll find out. But Shrek's, it's fucking wild. From one frame to the next, a lot's happened. It's escalated. He's gone from having a conversation with a man in a field to... the man lying down dead because his face is fucking grey. He's
got
a bit of chicken, like, placed on top of a rock, and he's shooting laser eyes at the chicken.
What? Who? The man Shrek, or Shrek?
No, Shrek. Shrek. The man's
laser
dead.
Eyes?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got laser eyes. Shrek.
Jesus.
Shrek has laser eyes. He's cooking some chicken or something.
Man, they really held out in the DreamWorks animation.
Yeah. Where's his fucking laser eyes,
Where's
man?
The fucking laser eyes, man?
All right. And it says... all will be revealed. It says, Dunghill, Shrek resumed dryly. What are you hiding in your satchel? It's just cold pheasant. Oh, it's pheasant. Okay, nice. Pheasant.
Right.
My pheasant. Here is a precious pheasant. The pheasant caught a glimpse of Shrek's gaze and a burning glow of which warmed his dinner. And he faints. Shrek ate and continued on his way.
Jesus. So maybe the guy didn't die then. He just fainted, while Shrek... The sight of Shrek laser beaming that pheasant knocked him out. Saying, which honestly, probably saved his life.
I mean, look, if a guy came up to me, he was like, what's in your satchel? I'm like, oh, I've got a bit of cold pheasant for lunch. And then he goes, the pheasant, my pheasant. Here is a precious pheasant. And then laserized the fucking pheasant. I'd probably faint. I'd probably be like, what the fuck? It's fight or flight. But yeah, that's what's Shrekking this week.
Obviously, I love a little tidbit.
We could do much more, but I want to stretch this out. Like, it's just a little treat, really. I don't want to read the whole story.
Well, a little taste. That's good.
Yeah, a little taste. I mean, we're almost... Now, we're about a third of the way through the book, which is wild because we know how the movie goes, and I'm assuming it's the exact same. So
Yeah. Well, it's matched up so far. We've got witches and beans.
Yeah, and the guy faints while he goes, my pheasant! So, and Ussy Cussy, of course.
We've had the Ussy Cussy. We've definitely laughed about that before, 100%. It just sounds weirdly familiar.
Yeah. It's melted into my brain. Brilliant. But that's what's striking this week.
All right, yeah. Nice little tidbit there. So we'll get some more of that next week, maybe, or maybe not. Who knows? Thank you for that. Was that a goat? What was that?
It's a SpongeBob, isn't it?
Oh, I thought you were doing a goat.
He goes like, eh.
But you just went like, eh. that's not SpongeBob's iconic laugh.
Close enough, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's close enough. It's close enough. So we watched the third. Fuck you, Krabs. I think it's the third movie, isn't it? This SpongeBob one.
Yes, this is the third installment.
Sponge on the Run.
Sponge on the Run.
Whether
baby.
It's supposed to be canonical, who knows? But I mean, it's SpongeBob, so it's all canonical and non-canonical at the same time, I guess, because it's all cartoon. So who knows?
Yeah.
But we watched it on Netflix, I believe.
Yes.
Which describes it as being Bikini Bottom is in panic when a pirate steals the Krabby Patty's secret recipe. SpongeBob and his what was that?
Krabby Patty secret formula. It's like the only thing I could say.
It's the only bit, yeah. SpongeBob and his pals embark on a mission to bring it back. Now, totally forgot after reading this what it said, because obviously watching it, it's not really a spoiler, but if you just read that first before you watched it, then you're like, oh, okay, so I know what's happened before they actually tell you in the film. All right. before we get into all that stuff, Aiden, why don't you just give us a little bit of information about it?
Yes, I am.
But you have to say it as Plankton. At least attempt it.
It was made in 2004. Wait, hang on.
2004?
Starring Halle Berry.
No. You're looking at Catwoman. You fool.
Directed by Pitoff. I fucking forgot to... Hang on, give me 2 seconds.
you forgot to change it over.
I forgot to change it. Okay.
You do the same as I do. I do love SpongeBob 3, Cat on the Run.
Yeah.
About SpongeBob, but it's Catwoman, played by Halle Berry. I wonder what Halle Berry would sound like if she did an impression of SpongeBob going, ay, 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 ay. You know what I mean?
It'd be all sexy.
Could she do a
It'd
good...
It'd be like...
How would that even... Ay, 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 ay.
A Krabby Patty secret formula.
Hey, Catwoman.
That was pretty good.
That's all right.
Hey, Catwoman, why don't you suck my cock?
No, stop. All right. There's no subtlety in that.
I mean, why don't you tickle my pickle?
Pickle.
I'll find your secret formula.
Oh, dear.
The clitoris.
Oh, dear.
No, sorry.
No, no, stop it.
Stop it.
No, that's it.
Cancelled. The show's cancelled.
Right. It was direct. It was made in 2020.
2020?
Yeah.
Oh my god. I remember seeing like either a trailer for it or just like a TV spot or something. And we'll talk about it, but they focus a lot on the 3D part.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's shit. I don't want to watch that. Which I think is super weird. But the point was, I don't remember. I thought that was like much longer ago.
No, because English. I remember that it makes sense now.
I guess it makes sense.
Because yeah. I remember I've seen this before. I saw it like when it came out and I was like, I don't remember going to see it. But it was because it was during COVID and it came out straight to streaming.
Which is
why I'd seen it. Because it was directed by Tim Hill. It stars Clancy Brown, Bim Fagabaki, is that his name?
Patrick. Whoa, cancelled now.
What? it stars Mr. Krabs, Patrick, Squidward, Plankton, Sandy, Awkwafina, who is great.
Wait.
Yeah. So it's basically the SpongeBob cast, which is Mr. Lawrence, Carol Lawrence, Roger Bumpass, Bill. I think it's Fagabaki. I think it is. Clancy Brown, Mr. Lawrence, which is the greatest name ever, and Tom Kenny. And then you get fucking guest star central. You get.
Wow.
You get fucking Awkwafina. You get Matt Berry. You get Keanu Reeves.
I mean, carry on. I said wait, but carry on. I was just surprised. That was a weight of surprise. Please don't actually wait. Carry on.
You get Reggie Watts and you get fucking Danny Trio. It's fucking wild.
Steve Buscemi as well.
Steve Buscemi and Snoop Doggy Dog.
Hold up. I don't remember hearing half these voices.
Some of them aren't voices. They're just
actual cameos.
Yeah.
So the main thing is I'm terrible at. Oh yeah, also Antonio Banderas.
Is he?
Yeah, Antonio Banderas. He's literally the pirate.
Oh shit! Is he? I didn't see.
Yeah.
That.
How did you not? It's like you can hear him being Puss in Boots.
Wait, really?
Yeah, look at the Sponge on the Run.
I'm gonna cut.
No, wait a minute.
Are you sure? Are you thinking?
Did I watch?
Wait,
the wrong one.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. I watched it. I watched God Sponge damn in the Water. I even called the document. My notes document is called Sponge on the Run.
It's a two-parter, baby.
But it's Sponge. I watched Sponge Out of Water. Not the other one, which is why you were like Snoop Dogg, and I was like, where the fuck was Snoop Dogg? Oh, god damn it.
Oh, man.
This is brilliant. This is perfect.
Okay, so I guess tell me about that one film. So
we're just gonna. Okay. Why did you not. When I read out the synopsis, did you not think it was weird?
Honestly, yes, but then at the same time, it's just like, well, I mean, it's kind of like the same thing. It's kind of like, it's kind of the same plot, but replace Secret Formula with Gary, and that's the plot of the next film.
Oh my god, I cannot believe that's so funny. Because the because Sponge Out of Water, I mean, Sponge Out of Water is like interestingly Matt Berry again. But did you? Who does he play? He plays Poseidon in the other one, right?
In this one, yeah. And let's just quickly, Sponge Out of Water was made in 2015. It was directed by Paul Tibbett and Mike Mitchell.
This makes more sense because Sponge Out of Water is the one where they have like superpowers and stuff and the thing. And I was like, looking at that, thinking that looks shit, and that was much longer ago, so that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So Sponge Out of Water has the SpongeBob cast, and then Antonio Banderas, and then other people. I can't be honest.
Oh my god. Because you were like Awkwafina, and I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? These are really iconic voices. I'm normally bad at like hearing a voice, unless it's super, super iconic.
I'm pretty good and with it.
I'm normally quite bad at hearing a voice and being like, oh, that's that person. It depends. Because if it's like Matt Berry, then I'm like, oh, I know who that is.
Yeah.
You know, Snoop Dogg, super distinct, whatever. But then sometimes if I don't know a cast.
Yeah, you know Snoop Dogg.
And I just hear the voices.
Nerch! Like,
That's still one of my favorite like things that you've like blundered, where you're just like, I Snoop Dogg, nerch up, somebody gonna get you. What a classic Snoop Doggy Dogg moment. Yeah, yeah. Snoop Lion for a temporary time.
Oh yeah, yeah. Snoop Lion and then Snoop Dogg and then
don't know why that was the case.
And then Sponge Out of Water then. It's got 6 out of 10 on IMDb, 81% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 62% on Metacritic.
Yeah, so not which one is that we a would look
good,
at.
Yeah, it's a pretty good film, so therefore
me
it
makes watching
sense.
It, I was like, this is good, this is funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant. You've and seen this one though, right?
I've seen all of them, yeah. It's been a while since I've watched Sponge Out of Water, but yeah. And then Sponge on the Run has 5.9 out of 10 on IMDb. Fuck's sake, you fucked up my flow, dude.
Like the flow of the ocean. 67%
on Rotten Tomatoes, and 65 Metal Crickets liked it. So it's a drop. It's a definite drop.
Yeah, it's a drop. It's not bad though.
It's not bad. Yeah. I mainly wanted to just watch SpongeBob, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Thing is, Aiden, SpongeBob has a special place for me and Aiden because we would just like I think it was the first time that you came around to mine and we literally just watched SpongeBob. Like we just put the SpongeBob movie on and we had we had SpongeBob themed Monopoly at home at that point.
That wasn't
so we
that
played
time.
Some we did arrange for a SpongeBob Monopoly sesh.
It wasn't arranged. It was we had a D&D session, and
oh yeah,
and it like cancelled or someone was late or something. So we just played SpongeBob Monopoly instead.
Yeah. Oh, good times, good times.
Why don't you talk me through Sponge Out of Water, and then I'll talk you through Sponge on the Run.
Because I was thinking, why is he on the run? Because he's not really... He is kind of on the run. Do you know what? In Sponge Out of Water, he is kind of on the run, to be fair. But, like... Yeah, so... Like I said, it describes it as you know, a pirate stealing the Krabby Patty's secret recipe, and SpongeBob and his pals embark on a mission to get to
oh,
to get
a it pirate. Right. I didn't hear that the first time, which is why I didn't call you out on it. Because I was like, yeah, something about a secret formula, and then he's got to go get it. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, same thing. Yeah, I get it.
But it's weird. So, like, most of the film is... We'll sort of just like jump around a bit with things, but generally talk about it and stuff because we've got two films, so we'll just see how it goes. But so most of the film is the sort of your standard like 2D classic like SpongeBob look, But then you've got the, I guess, the sponge out of water section, where for the last maybe 20 minutes of the film or so, maybe 30, but yeah, 25 minutes maybe of the film, they're up out of the water and they're in that weird 3D sort of.
It's funny as well, because I remember kind of CG. I remember seeing the trailer for this, and it was kind of all the 3D stuff. Like in the trailer.
This is the thing, right? Because this is, that was my.
That makes sense
full
why
knowledge.
You said that now. Yeah, I was like, was I mean, it's in 3D, so I don't know why you're complaining.
So, because the whole. So for me, seeing the trailer and stuff, I was like, oh, that's looks weird and I don't like it and it's not really SpongeBob and whatever. But most of the film is not that. And it's weird that they kind of sold it on that. I guess because it's called Sponge Out of Water. And if he was in the water, people would be like, well, he's in the water, so what's this? He's not out of the water, is he? But, like, to get straight to it, most of the good parts of the film, like most of the good kind of visual gags and writing and the actual just regular gags and puns and whatever, all of that is pretty much in the animated like 2D sections.
Yeah.
And the bits where it's out of the water and stuff like that, it's just a bit shit. And it's like there's some good kind of jokes and things and whatever, but I don't know. When you're watching all the 2D stuff, it just feels like a good episode of SpongeBob.
I seem to remember that the 3D stuff, which also kind of links a bit into the third film, but I seem to remember all the 3D stuff was like a bit childish, a bit kiddie, which seems stupid to say because it's obviously a kid's film. But,
no, but even then, I mean, SpongeBob's always been one of those shows where it's not just sort of... It toes the line. It has lots of tongue-in-cheek stuff, jokes that, you know, are there for the adults as well. But also, because it's a lot of visual humor, it is generally... It's like, it's normally quite clever visual humor for whatever reason. And so, you know, I mean, everybody knows what SpongeBob is like, most people. So... It's just more of that, which is always good. I mean, SpongeBob is just, I think it's just like a, it'll never die. It's just like a timeless kind of comic show that's just so good. But then, all the 3D stuff is so, I don't know, maybe because they're more limited with what they can do. It's a bit more sort of, it is more childish. So for example, in the very beginning, in the very beginning, just before it starts, it pops up with a thing saying like rating you, not you as in you, Aiden, but rating it like
I'm
a you,
rating,
like a
yeah.
you.
It said
and
that
it says,
in the
yeah, it said that yeah. That was the entire line of text. But it said it was a you, and then said sort of dash rude humor, violence. It's like, damn, SpongeBob's popping up. SpongeBob's like, fuck it, get out of here, you.
That's the worst SpongeBob impression. Hey, I'm fucking SpongeBob. I'm from the north. I'll fucking do you. Gravy and chips.
Gotta get to formula. Anyway.
Hey, I'm SpongeBob. Get to fuck.
It's like blank tub. Get to fuck.
Get to fuck out of Krabby Patty. All right.
Anyway, but yeah, so it starts in live
Plankton,
action.
Plankton's like, Plankton's like, foil again. And then, SpongeBob's like, yeah, that's right, you dickhead. Fuck off.
We specky bastard. But yeah, so it starts off in live action where you've got Antonio Banderas, which again, I was just like, how could you not tell it was him? But obviously,
that makes sense. Yeah.
But I was like, it's so, like, even when he talks, it's pretty much just Puss in Boots. Like, there's a bit of, now and then he'll have like a more of a piratey tinge to it, but then sometimes he's talking and it just sounds like Puss in Boots.
I'm pirate in boots.
Yeah.
I'm puss out of water.
Stop. But anyway, was it Ussie Cussie out of water?
Ussie Cussie. I'm Ussie Cussie out of water.
But yeah, so you kind of start with Antonio Banderas, pirate, and Pirate Banderas? I don't know. There's something there, maybe. But he... Yeah.
We'll work on
he's
we'll
Captain Banderas. So he's, like, hacking his way through the... through, like, kind of thick foliage. He's on, like, a desert island. And he kind of goes through all these traps and things. And it's, you know, just kind of a bit of... you know, a few visual gags and stuff. There's a spikes coming out of the floor, but he's kind of dancing around them, like, da-da-da-da-da, you know, getting his way through them. Up to a skeleton holding a book, and he takes the book from the skeleton. He then has to proceed to fight the skeleton because it comes to life, and he has, like, a boxing match with it until it uppercuts him, and he literally, like, flies off the island onto his boat. No fall damage, I guess, but that's fine. And the whole thing is he's like... oh, finally, I've got this. This book is, you know, priceless. This is the book that has this, like, story in it. But he, when he lands, so, because he kind of, when he gets uppercutted by the skeleton, he goes, like, literally straight up off the screen, and it's like, ah! And then you see the boat in the distance, or you see the boat close up, the island in the distance, and he kind of goes, ah, and falls back onto the boat. And there's a bunch of seagulls that are sitting around, and they're all playing Go Fish. Is it called Go Fish or just
yeah,
Fish?
Yeah, Go Fish, I think.
And I was like, okay, funny little gag. Seagulls fly away when he lands, and that's that. But no, the seagulls are like a mainstay of the film.
And I forgot about
that. They are undoubtedly the worst part of the film, because the seagulls are the bit... which I think has the most element of, like, if you took them out, it would probably seem a lot better. But yeah. The seagulls are the element that is the most kind of childish, because yeah. They're all just like, I don't know. It's so weird that they're written that, so differently.
That, like, there's that, like, young one, isn't there?
Or, yeah.
Like, the small one. He's like,
the one with, like, a speech impediment.
Yeah.
And he's like, please, no, Mr. Pirate.
Please, Mr. Pirate, nobody likes me. I have no friends.
And then at the end, SpongeBob's like, I'll be your friend. And he's like,
everyone has learned to respect me. I'm very happy right now.
And then, yeah, I love it.
Pretty sure that doesn't happen, but sure.
No, I remember the film.
Okay, we'll rewrite it then so that happens. But no, I was enjoying the kind of, like, funny, silly stuff with the pirate captain, because you've got the great scene at the beginning of the SpongeBob movie, the first one, with the pirates and things.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, as well, these subsequent SpongeBob movies are always going to be compared to the first one, because the first one is just this golden... perfect film. It's so great. It's just like, it's done well. There's no part of it that I was like, oh, this is shit or whatever. Like, it's just, it's a solid film through and through.
It's just like an embodiment of, like, the first, I don't know, like, four seasons of SpongeBob.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Where it's just it's like, and you can't, there's no, you can't describe it really, because if you could put your finger on why it was so good, then they'd just be doing that constantly all the time, and so would everyone
else.
Yeah. Like, it's just like this perfect storm of just being, like, iconic. And
yeah.
Then they just, like, and did then, that,
you know, but they had a
film.
Solid, yeah, but they had a solid kind of story as well. Like, they have a goal and that, you know, it's structured well and whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. This has a similar kind of start where it's a live action kind of beginning and you've got the pirates and stuff, because that's always been an element in SpongeBob, and it's always very funny and silly and whatever. So I was like, cool. And then the seagulls come in. And fuck me. Like, I was just like, oh no, is this the beginning of it being bad? And it was all a ruse. Because the seagulls are like farting and you know, doing whatever, and they're like, oh, please weed us a store we and all this kind of stuff. I was like, fuck me. Do we have to have these guys? They're so annoying. And so that was all a bit like, ugh. But I could immediately forget about that, because then the pirate was like, yeah, this book has a story and it's all about Bikini Bottom, and, you know, SpongeBob's always beaten Patrick, and not Patrick, he's just beaten Patrick. I meant to say Plankton.
What are you doing, SpongeBob? SpongeBob! No, please. SpongeBob!
Oh man, if you haven't read the what was it called, it was by an account called Still in the Simulation, something like that. It's like this Reddit user who was releasing these SpongeBob Lovecraftian comics, like, what? Bit by bit, and they're so good. I'll show you afterwards. They're like, it's literally, because it's all the beginning of the whole thing is like Patrick saying, you know, okay, so it's all originally based on there's a subreddit called r/ I'm sorry John, and it's like Lovecraftian Garfield basically, and it's always this thing where it's like, you know John's like Garfield, and then it's this, you know, horrific kind of Lovecraftian monstrosity, and he's like, I'm sorry John, and it's, you know, like creepy and whatever. But somebody did I think on a certain day of the week they allow people to do non-Garfield related content,
yeah,
because, you know, and somebody did like a Lovecraftian thing with SpongeBob, and it's so good because it's so well made, like written, drawn, everything, and it's just this continuous, they'd release a new like page every so often, and it's just this story which like evolves and evolves and evolves about like Patrick, because it's basically Patrick saying like, SpongeBob, do you know how starfish like feed? And then, and it's all like an anatomically correct with these like facts it has, when it's like, oh, starfish, like, I can't remember, they like dissolve the prey or something, and then I can't remember what it is, but basically it's like he was like, I'm sorry, SpongeBob, and he's gonna eat SpongeBob, and you're like, oh my god, this is crazy. And it just evolves from there. It's fucking great. Complete tangent, but definitely go and check that out.
Speaking of tangent on your tangent, there's also
I think it was called the Bikini Bottom Horror or something like that. But anyway, yeah, sorry.
There's one where it's Garfield, but they've edited out everything that Garfield says, and like they've just completely taken out Garfield, so it's just John by himself. And it just makes him seem like completely insane. And good. It's so funny. I think it's on Twitter, if you have Twitter. But I've seen pictures of it. It's so funny. It'd just be like, it'd just be like a man stood in his kitchen by himself being like, Garfield, you can't eat lasagna. You're no. A cat. And then just silence. It's so stupid. Amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
But SpongeBob. But anyway, anyway,
back to SpongeBob. So he's reading this story, Mr. Pirate Man, reading this story about SpongeBob, and he's like, you know, normally Plankton tries to steal the formula, and then SpongeBob beats the shit out of him, and everything's happy, and that's good. But not this time. And it's like, ooh. And then thing is, there were just... because I don't have a huge amount of notes on this, because the jokes in the sort of normal SpongeBob style are so fast-paced, and they're so good. There's just loads of puns, or like visual gags, or whatever. And it's just brilliant. And it's like, it basically starts off where it's a classic, Plankton's trying to get the Krabby Patty formula, But he's got like a plane, and then they go, the fucking Krusty Krab goes into like DEFCON 1, and they've all got like military uniforms on and stuff, and SpongeBob's loading up the potato cannon to fight him back with and all this kind of stuff. And it's all very silly, like food fight, whatever. Yeah. And it's like, that's all very good. Because they have this kind of initial thing beforehand where a lot, you know, a few of these bits and pieces are narrated by Antonio Banderas. And he's saying like, oh, everybody loves the Krabby Patty. You know, it's everybody's eating them all the time, breakfast, lunch, dinner. And it's got loads of funny situations. Like, there's literally this guy lying in a hospital bed who takes a bite of a Krabby Patty and gets one of those like oxygen masks put over his face. And the doctor is stood there with like his partner, and the doctor's like, I'm sorry, but there's nothing we can do to save him. He's only got a week to live. And then the woman starts crying, and then the doctor takes out a Krabby Patty and bites into it, and then the woman takes out one as well and starts eating it. And it's just like, there's loads of just silly, like goofy stuff like that that's very funny. And then, you know, you have the fight with Plankton, and you know, his plane turns into a, it turns into like a robot, and it turns into all sorts of stuff. And it's this like elaborate plan where he's kind of crying because he's been beaten, and he says to, you know, he says to Mr. Krabs, all I've got left is this dime. Like, what do I even do with this? And he's like, you know, well, you can give it to me because I love money, because you know how Mr. Krabs is. So then Mr. Krabs just throws it in his safe, and then you realize that that was a mini robot, and that gave him the coin, and the coin itself opens, and Plankton like squeezes out of it, and he goes and gets the Krabby Patty formula and all that kind of stuff. So like, they've got all of this kind of I phrased it as a pun filled food fight fiesta. and I thought it was great, because as soon as they sort of discover what's happened, and then they catch Plankton just as he's taking the formula, and all the alarms go off.
The Krabby Patty formula.
All the alarms go off, and literally the entirety of the Krusty Krab like locks down. But it's that kind of thing where it's just this huge, like 6-inch thick metal, like barriers, just like ka-chum, 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 across everything. Like, even they have like a sequence where it's like, think not only are things closing, but like Squidward sat at his, you know, it's like his kind of the little reception boat thing. Yeah. But it's like two arms kind of, like two long poles kind of come out from either side of the screen towards him, with a perfect cast of the boat and him like in half on either side. And so they go ka-chum, so that he's contained within metal inside the boat. And like, I just thought, like, there's loads of stuff like that, which is just so funny. Like, the toilet seats have a little kind of thing that just goes like zzz, and just shuts like off, so that the toilets, there's no possible escape through the hole there. You know, somebody, like just random people who are sitting down get encased in metal and all sorts of stuff. Like, it's very silly and very funny. It basically ends up SpongeBob and Plankton are fighting over the formula in the bottle. Plankton's created a fake one anyway, but they're fighting over the actual one. And Mr. Krabs, like, forces open the metal doors. Like, they're huge, thick sheets of metal, and he just goes just rips them apart to get into the thing. And it's like, oh, he's foiled again, except literally the formula disappears from their hands. It just like evaporates, almost like it just
and then
and I'll just sort of briefly kind of go over a couple things, obviously, so I'm not describing the entire film, but the point is, they've got to go and kind of retrieve the Krabby Patty formula. And it turns out that the pirate had, because he's got this book. It's like this weird thing where he's got this book which has this story in it, but he can write in it and change the story and, like, in real time change the story. But there's a bit where he tells them that it's the end once the formula is gone and the apocalypse hits, because Bikini Bottom, everybody literally, they've got a shot of everyone just stood there normally, and he's like, you don't understand. Without the Krabby Patty, then the entirety of, like, Bikini Bottom is going to go to shit, and it's going to be apocalypse, whatever. And he's like, it's not going to be that bad. And then they all, just as they are, it's just this, the same shot. It all just goes, boop, and they all just have, like, like, kind of fucking Mad Max, like, costumes on and shit.
They're like,
and,
like, gimp outfits.
Gimp suits, because he goes, welcome to the apocalypse, Squidward. I hope you like leather. That's my fucking Mr. Krabs impression.
Squidward!
That's good. They all think that Plankton's done it, but SpongeBob is like, no, I know that he actually didn't do it this time. So SpongeBob has to kind of be like a sponge on the run, which is why I thought it was called that.
Hey! He's on the run!
And he's got to go with Plankton to kind of see if they can go figure it out. And it's one of those things where, you know, Plankton sort of learns to be part of a team and you know, kind of softens up a bit as they go. It has this weird stuff, like, it has time travel in it and everything, because Plankton's just like, well, we could just go back in time, so let me just go and get my computer wife Karen, because she'll help me make a time machine. And they just make a time machine and go, it's like, oh, they go too far forwards, they go too far back, they're kind of like bouncing around. And which is when they meet the Matt Berry dolphin. And it's literally the dolphin that's like at the I don't know if he's meant to be at the beginning of time or if he's just like outside of time. He's like this watcher that just watches events.
He's
and stuff.
The Stan Lee of the
kind of pretty much
the SpongeBob cinematic universe.
Yeah, and there's this whole gag where he's like, "Oh, brilliant! You guys are here. Can you watch Saturn Jupiter for a second while I just pop to the loo?" And he just goes off to the loo because he hasn't been in 10,000 years apparently. And then they just watch as Jupiter and Saturn just crash into each other. Obviously, it's whatever. And he comes out and he's like, "Oh my god, I'm gonna lose my job!" And blah blah blah. And then he starts laser beaming at them with out of his blowhole. Like, it's just it's SpongeBob ridiculousness, you know. And they time travel back and forth. And then it sort of ends up that you get the whole gang of, like, Mr. Krabs, Squidward, Sandy, all of them together to go and retrieve the formula from the pirate guy. And that, after all of that stuff, that's when they go into sort of 3D mode out of the water.
Yeah, as soon as they get out of the water, they're, like, sexy.
I mean, yeah, pretty well, not to begin with, because they're sort of going around.
Oh yeah, they're being thrown around the place
and everything, and then they manage to, they have like a page on them, because
they like
there's a bit where the pirate is like, that's the end of the story, like much earlier on, and then the seagulls, as annoying as they are like, oh no, it's not, blah 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 blah, and then one of them like rips a page out when they're wrestling him for it. But then it's like the page goes into the ocean, and then Sandy finds it because it lands on her dome house, and she kind of goes mad and whatever, and it's like there. So I'm like, so the story is what is happening right now, or is all of that happening because he's reading the story now? Like, it's not meant to make sense. It's just SpongeBob. Yeah. And it's always just fourth wall breaking and whatever. But they just, there's loads of great stuff. Like there's this fucking like reggae song that plays whenever they time travel. And it's an actual fucking bop, but it's just so funny. Like, it's just so weird. It's there's like proper SpongeBob weirdness.
In the other film, there's a Weezer song, which fucking slaps as well. Like, one of my notes is like, Weezer! Because it's so good. That's a common theme with SpongeBob. Like, the songs usually bang, whatever they are.
Yeah, they normally do. And then it's kind of, you know, it's the... They go and confront him, and then they have to use the page that they have to, like, write themselves. Because the page they have says, like, the end on it. But they're like, oh, no, I'm going to write us in with some superpowers. And they all have... That's when they all come out and they're like super buff.
Yeah.
And they've all got superpowers. Except Sandy, who's literally just a giant squirrel.
That's funny. Yeah. I like
that.
So
like
that,
all of that's the thing. There's a lot which is just like genuinely still funny, but then I don't know, it's not as great as the normal sort of SpongeBob kind of comedy and the gags and all this kind of the visual stuff. But, I mean, Plankton becomes hugely ripped, but he's still got, like, a tiny little head and stuff. It's, like, all that kind of thing is quite funny. But the bit that threw me more than anything is at the end of the film, when they beat the pirate, and he goes flying out of the ship, or I can't remember how he ends up there. Whether they write him there, I don't remember. But he basically goes... He goes flying, and he lands on an island, and he's sort of buried up to his neck. And then they just put, like, a frame around him, like a kind of photo frame. And you're like, it's the thing. He's like, the seagulls are like, oh, fucking sing us a song, mate. And he's like, are you ready, kids? And he does the whole, like, oh, losing a bit of a scene. He does the kind of song, and it's like, oh, yeah. And then they get to the end, and you hear, like, stop. Stop, silence, shut up, this is so annoying. And it's the Matt Berry dolphin who's like open a little fucking space-time portal and he's like, shut up. And he starts rapping.
Yeah.
And oh my god, I was just like, what the fuck is this? It was just so left field. It was hilarious, but like, it was that weird line where I was kind of cringed out from some of the, like, it's just mainly the seagulls, I think. But it was just so funny with him, like, it's like a fucking diss track with the two of them, like, fucking rap battling each other, him against the seagulls. And then they're like, can we just go back and do the rest of the song? And he's like, okay. And then that's it. Like, they do it and it ends. And he was like, that was pretty good. So weird. But why don't you tell me about the film that you watched?
Oh my god!
And I'll
run through it quickly. There's not that much to say about it because it's not as good. The story is we see King Neptune, played by Matt Berry, and he's like
play him in the first one, did he?
No. That was it's not Neptune, it's Poseidon. Slightly different.
Well, technically this, but yeah.
That's the guy from Arrested Development and Elf as well. Not Elf, the Grinch. Anyway, doesn't matter. So Matt Berry is Poseidon, and he's all sexy. He's like, obsessed with health care and, like, being young and whatever. And he's like, I spot a wrinkle! And then, he sees a wrinkle on his face. So he's like, get me my fucking snail. And what he's doing is he's rubbing snails all over his face to stay young. But the royal snail that he's got, he's fucking dried up, mate. He's like, he's got no cum left.
Why'd you have to go there?
he's like, oh, just get me a new one. And it turns out, right, that all of this, there are no more snails left in the kingdom because he's used them all on his face, which we'll feed into later because that doesn't make any sense. He's like, royal decree, give me a snail and I'll be grateful. Just give me one, please. and mm-hmm. like with flyers. So then we see Plankton, and he's like, the Krabby Patty secret formula. And then, lo and behold, he tries to seal it. It doesn't work. And he's and Karen's like, your problem's not the formula, and the problem's not crabs. It's SpongeBob. Like, SpongeBob's the one who always, like, fucks you up, mate. And he's like, eh, fuck you, Karen. And then, and then.
My computer wife.
My computer wife. I love meatloaf. Anyway, yeah, so he's like, nah, you're wrong. And then he gets beat by SpongeBob and he's like, yeah, you're right. And then he sees a flyer. He's like, that's a good idea. I'm a Nick Gary and give him to King Poseidon. Right? So then SpongeBob's like, fuck me. What the fuck? Where the fuck is Gary? He's freaking out. He's like not performing at work. Everyone's losing their mind or something. And everyone hates SpongeBob. I think. I can't really remember. I watched this 2 days ago and the story is like fucking vague as
That's
shit.
That's the thing. I mean, they're not as like straight. Even Sponge Out of Water, which was fun, it's not as kind of. It doesn't have as strong of a backbone.
Yeah, this first backbone film,
which is like
fucking,
just one quest.
Yeah, but this is one quest, but it's fucking weak as shit because it's literally like I can't. This is the best thing is I can't remember why they're on the run. It's just like that they go to the palace and they're like. And SpongeBob's like, oh, yeah, it's fucking weird. So they go, they're on the way to the palace, and then they just, like, have these weird bits that, like, fill out the story. So they're on the way, and then they have a vision where Keanu Reeves turns up. Like, literally Keanu Reeves. He's in a sage, like a ball of sage.
Oh, and that's where that comes from.
Yeah,
I've
yeah,
seen
yeah.
that before. Right. Yeah.
And he's yeah. like, hey, you've got to find, you can do this or whatever. Don't worry about it. And he's like, oh, to be able to defeat Poseidon or whatever, you have to fight the ghost of Danny Trio, who's a ghost pirate or whatever. And so they have like a little weird fight with Danny Trio and Snoop Dogg's there. And he's doing a rap. It's so weird. You're like, what? What the fuck is this now? Like, why are we doing this? And
yeah,
and so they defeat him, and then Keanu Reeves like, well done. You get this coin, and you're like, oh, it's going to be Chekhov's coin. That they'll be like a little slot for a coin at some point, and then he'll slough it in, and then he'll win Gary back. But no, that doesn't happen. They're literally, they get to the end and they're like, oh, remember you had a coin? And then they do like a little flashback because Poseidon lives in basically Las Vegas. And it turns out they bet away the magic coin or something when they were like off their nut on ice cream. So like it literally has no relevance or play. It's literally like, oh shit, we need like an extra 20 minutes of something. I'll just throw in the fact that they have to talk to Keanu Reeves and Danny Trio. Like, let's just do that. And then they do this other thing where they're like, SpongeBob's like, oh, I love Gary so much. I remember when I first met Gary. And then it's like a flashback to a like stupid camp. And it's like, oh, is that a snail? Why don't we be friends? Cool. Now we're best friends. And like, which takes like 10 minutes.
Right.
And you're like, well, what was the fucking point of that? So then SpongeBob gets captured. Poseidon's like, this is my snail. Get it. Fuck. And then, and then the guys like, you know, Sandy and Squidward and Plankton and Mr. Krabs, they're all, they somehow work out that SpongeBob and Patrick have been captured, and they're like, now we'll do a flashback of why we're friends with SpongeBob. And it's literally the same camp of like Squidward is like, I'm gonna quit doing the clarinet, but SpongeBob was the one that said, oh no, don't quit the clarinet. And Sandy was a squirrel, and she was like, I can't live in the sea. And SpongeBob was like, yeah, you can. And Mr. Krabs was selling burgers out of like a little stall, and SpongeBob was like, you should have a restaurant. It's literally so, you're just like, mate, I know what you're doing. You're padding yeah. for time. It's because your story is so weak and bad. So then they all come together at the end, and they try and rescue SpongeBob. They almost get away with it, but then they all get captured, and then SpongeBob does a speech about how King Poseidon shouldn't be worried about his wrinkles. And then King Poseidon's like, I shouldn't be worried about my appearance? Cool, I won't be then. And then just like does the, you know, he's wearing a six-pack belt or whatever, and he's really fat, and he's got no hair, and he's got no teeth or whatever. Right. You know, the thing. And then it ends, and everyone's like, yay! Oh, what do we do with... this is what I was saying earlier. And then the very end is like, well, that's all well and good, but what do we do with all these snails that we have locked up? And then they're like, I know, why don't we adopt them so everyone in Bikini Bottom has a pet snail now? And that's how it ends. But I was like, but the whole premise is that there aren't any snails left. Like, you just had them locked up? What are you fucking talking about? You've just done that for no reason. Okay, that's the story.
Well, but, I searched, while you were talking, I searched up Poseidon to see what he looks like. And I can see what he looks like on just Google Images. But what really caught my eye was one entry which has the three different versions of kind of Poseidon or Neptune that we've seen in SpongeBob. Yeah. And it's just labeled the false king, and it's like a YouTube, like it's like an image for a YouTube thumbnail. Yeah. And it's just titled SpongeBob Conspiracy Number 5: The Neptune Theory.
I'm gonna watch that.
I'm genuinely very interested.
Later. Yeah, yeah. So my biggest problem with this film, right? And don't get me wrong, I'm still like. Bad film, all right, I enjoyed it. But I only enjoyed it because it's like SpongeBob. It's hard not to enjoy, but it's so, like, especially the bit where they go back in time, or they do the flashback and it's the origin story. Because they just get, like, children to voice the characters. Mm. And it's so cringe. Because it's like, oh, because he meets Patrick there, and Patrick's like, I have no friends. And SpongeBob's like, well, you do now. We're friends now. And he's like, yay. And then that's the end of Patrick's bit. And it's like,
right.
Like, what? Fuck off. But no, my biggest problem.
Get to fuck.
Right. I think, like I was saying earlier, it's hard to pinpoint why OG SpongeBob is so good. But one of the reasons, I think, and a big factor, is that every frame in SpongeBob is iconic. You can pause it at any point and it's hilarious. Like, they have it's either his weird facial expressions, or it's like completely cursed because he's moving and he just looks like crazy. Or it'll be the like, you know, the classic 90s cartoon thing where it like smash cuts to like a hyper realistic thing. And just like it's like visual gags, but not in it's not a self-aware visual gag. It's just hilarious to look at. But with this, there's like absolutely none of that. Because it's 3D animated constantly. Like, and it looks good. It's the animation style is nice, and you can kind of see why, like, it's a feature length film. They want to make a step up and differentiate it to a cartoon, so they do it all in 3D animation. But you just lose that. Like, there's no there's no funny faces. It doesn't. Everything's just too clean. Like, there's no. There's just nothing to it. It just feels so, like, empty.
I mean, I see the trailer for it, or the, you know, I see what the animation style is like, and I'm just like, well, I don't want to watch that, because that's not SpongeBob. That's not SpongeBob. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It was hilarious and brilliant in the first SpongeBob movie, when they get taken out of the water and they're literally like, they're dried out, and then, because they are just 2D the whole time dried out and they become an actual sponge and an actual starfish and that kind of thing. And that is all very like self-aware, and they're being very meta and funny and silly and whatever, but like, it does it in a way that's, it's almost like the idea of that was, when they get dried out, they become like actually realistic looking and everything. You've got they put the sprinklers on and it brings all of the fish back to life and the mariachi band and all this kind of stuff. And it's all very funny. And just how crazy it is where you've got like David Hasselhoff there and everything. I mean, you know, in the show and everything, they've always mixed bits of live action with.
Yeah, it's not SpongeBob's thing. 2D.
But they. But, like, the actual SpongeBob and those guys normally are sort of in that 2D style. And if they differentiate from it, then it's...
It's for a gag.
It's like for a gag. It's just like, oh, it's funny because it's coming out of the thing, but now we're back in because this is how it normally is supposed to be. And I just don't think I could watch a full film where they do... Even in Sponge Out of Water, because it wasn't for the whole film and it was just sort of like a gag... where they came out of the water, it was enough that I was like, all right, this is like a funny thing, because they go back in the end.
Yeah.
And it's fine. But I wouldn't want to watch a whole film where, like, underwater, they're all in that 3D thing and whatever as well. Like, I just...
I mean... It's not the same. That's it. Like, it's not that it's bad. You settle into it. It's not like you're watching it, you're like, oh, it's... Ugh, I hate this.
Unbearable.
It's
just not... Time, yeah.
It's like you're not... You're not watching a SpongeBob film, really. Like, it doesn't feel like you're watching SpongeBob. You're just... This could be a completely different animated kids film. Mm. And, like, if you just replace the characters with other weird-looking characters, it could be the same.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't need to be a SpongeBob film. And then the other thing is, like, I don't know... I don't know why it's like this. Oh, also Tom Kenny just like, I don't know why he just sounds, he sounds like someone doing an impression of Tom Kenny's SpongeBob. It's really weird and like off-putting, because you're like, everyone else sounds perfect apart from Tom Kenny. I don't know why he's just, maybe he was like, this sucks.
But, he was like, wait, it's going to be in 3D the whole thing? Why am I in a mocap suit?
Yeah. But it's like, I don't know what it is about the jokes in SpongeBob and like the classic SpongeBob kind of jokes, but this is just like really. I mean, it's stupid to say, because this is like clearly. Like latching itself onto the audience of, no, this isn't for people that used to like SpongeBob and now they're a bit older, but it's still a kids thing, so it's acceptable for audiences. This feels like it's, no, this is, we need new, well, fuck the people that liked it before. We need new kids. We want kids that have never seen SpongeBob before, and we need like new audience. That's what it feels like.
I hate that. Because, I mean, we're in that era, right, where all of these old, they want to reboot and redo all of these old things, but they want to make it accessible to the new, younger audience rather than just letting that audience experience what everyone else fell in love with back then. If everyone else loved it back then, I know, you know, times do change and things do change and whatever, but like, they're gonna, like something like SpongeBob, you don't have to change the formula of SpongeBob for kids now to enjoy it.
Exactly.
You know,
it's so dumb. But that, it really feels like it's very dialed down. It's weird because it's dialed down, but then they say, like, I mean, SpongeBob calls something crappy, and you're like, that was a bit, I don't know. But then it, again, it just feels like, and Squidward fucking twerks in this.
Oh, no.
Absolutely insane. I was like, I don't know what to do with myself.
God's
with
sake.
Squidward fucking twerking. So you have the bits like, you have, like in SpongeBob, you have the more adult jokes that you only get when you're older.
Yeah.
And it feels like, but they feel natural. They feel like, this is funny. This is just funny. And you're either too young to understand or you get it. And it's,
you're like, oh, very good. Or you're like, oh, is it rude or something? Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Whereas this is like, it feels like they've gone, this is a film that parents are taking their kids to. So we need to throw in a couple of adult jokes, but not adult as in like, ooh, that's a bit rude. Like, damn, I didn't notice that when I was younger. Instead, it's like, oh, they're talking about something that only adults would get. Like, oh, he's talking about his tax return or something. Like, that, not like
I thought
that.
You were going to say it was just like explicitly adult, like just a raging sex scene between SpongeBob and Sandy.
I wish. Nah, it's just like, it's just this is just so, like, SpongeBob is funny because it's random as well. Like,
It's constantly going against your expectations.
Yeah, exactly. Like, breaking the fourth wall, like, running with something that's dumb, or just, like, something normal would be happening, and then, like, Patrick will fly through the frame, like, with his ass out or something, you know? And it just, like, catches you off guard. Whereas this is, like, so... It's, like, set up for joke, joke. Set up for joke, joke. Set up for joke. It's so, like, so formulaic.
Just completely written differently.
Yeah, it's so weird. It feels like, I mean, and it probably is, it just felt like a film that the studio are like, we've written this SpongeBob film and you have to do it because you're contractually obliged to. And then the cast are like, oh, I guess, okay. I mean, just to wrap up, a few honorable mentions, like Awkwafina is really funny in this.
So who does she
really
play?
Funny. She plays a robot that Sandy invents a new manager for the Krusty Krab. So it's all automated. So Mr. Krabs doesn't have to pay someone to manage the Krusty Krab. But then he kind of goes rogue, and then he just acts as like, it was so weird. They needed a reason for, cause they're like, oh, well, Patrick's an idiot and SpongeBob can't drive. So it wouldn't make sense for them to drive to like Atlantic City or whatever it is. So they just get this robot played by Awkwafina to drive them there because why not? Like,
they drove in the first film.
Yeah, because it's a burger, not a boat. And this is the stupidest thing, right? It's not like they forgot that, because the the Paddy Mobile makes an appearance when the other characters are like, oh, we've got to go help SpongeBob. They're like, let's bring out the Paddymobile. And then Squidward's like, this thing sucks, it's old now. And then it's like, they convert it into a sub. So it like extends so they can all fit. It's got like ketchup and mustard bottles on the side as like NOS canisters. And it's got like tomatoes under the hood or whatever. Which is quite a cool gag. But you're like, but I don't get why, it, like, it's there. Well, yeah. So why didn't they just drive it? I don't know. It's weird. It's just not very good, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, objectively, it's not a good film. It's bad film bad. But it's hard not to love it because it's SpongeBob. So, yeah, that's my review. What about you for your film?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I found that the stuff that was sort of a lot of the most of the stuff that's out of the water, I was like, not that fussed about.
Out of water?
Yeah, the stuff where the sponge was out of the water, you know. We'll just let Aiden finish his heart attack. There were some good bits and everything, but I mean, the most fun that I had and the most engaged that I was in the film was just all the 2D stuff. I think, you know, following the formula of the first one, yeah, they definitely, I didn't think it was a bad thing for them to have, like, you know, the live action stuff with the pirate and all that kind of thing. But I just think, like, the CG seagulls and the CG, like, when they're all superhero CG and stuff, like, I don't know. Again, it just didn't really feel properly like SpongeBob. And I was just a bit like, no, it wasn't too bad. Definitely wasn't as bad as it sounds from the next one. But yeah, I just think it was, its strongest bits were not the live action stuff. So, but I'd say bad film good.
Yeah.
100%.
I remember liking it. That's all I can remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, a bit of a different episode by not design. That's your fault. So if this episode sucked, it's all Deke's fault. It's all your fault. You could have read my message. You could have double checked before.
I knew what film it was, but then I just did the wrong one. Like, I just looked at the wrong one and like wrote it down and everything. Like, I just didn't. I put Sponge on the Run on the actual document, but I just didn't watch that film. So funny.
I'm kind of glad I did that, to be honest, because I'm glad I didn't watch that other one.
Yeah, I'm kind of mad that I had to watch the shit one and you got to watch, like, a decent film.
I'm sat there watching it like, ay, 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 ay. You know.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a goat. I don't know what it is. It's just like...
But as always, if you want to keep up to date, we're on Instagram, on TikTok, at Bad for Good. We do little clips and memes and stuff.
They're always posted on time.
On time, twice a week, in every full, week.
Twice a week, every week. I never
without
miss a beat.
Phil. Yeah. if you want to give us a follow there, check us out. Why not? If you want to get into contact with us, we're badfilmgood@gmail.com. Send us some suggestions for films we should do, or if you got any real life dumb shit.
Or your favorite
SpongeBob
episode.
Yeah.
And why? Full 2,000 word essay.
Yes, please. By Monday, if you can.
By Monday, please. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And when this comes out, it's on Monday. So today, when you're listening now, send it to us now. You're late, actually. Yeah. And I will be deducting points for being late. But that's on you, really. So if you want to give us a 5-star review, give us a review. Tell us, put your essay in the review.
Yeah, the entire 2,000-word thing. You press C more and you have to scroll for like 5 minutes just to press C less.
Someone clicks on it, they're like, oh, 5 stars. Let's see what they said about it. What the fuck? This is just an essay about SpongeBob.
It's like when people post... what's it called? Isn't that it's not Creepypasta. What's the What's the one where people will just like copy and paste? It'll be like somebody will post something that's either cringy or silly or whatever, and people will just copy it and paste it. I swear there's a term for it. Whatever that is, do that.
Yes.
Yes. Maybe it is just creepypasta. I can't remember.
Isn't creepypasta the scary thing, though?
Well, I thought that's what I thought. I thought that they're normally supposed to be, like, creepy, but then I feel like... I don't know. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter. Yeah. That's pretty much everything. But as always, we'll leave you with a shitty quote from an Inspirer bet or whatever, and then three banging memes.
I feel like it needs to be one meme to because you can't be like, oh, this Inspirer bot, this one Inspirer bot, and then all three of these ones. You know,
the problem is
it needs to be on a ground level. You know what I mean? It needs to be an even playing field.
No. The problem is that it's just hitting home run after home run with memes, and it's just like I just can't decide. I've got three here, and I. Honestly, I can't decide. I'll do two. I'll get rid of one.
Okay.
And I'll do two because I can't decide between the two of them.
Sure. I think what I'm trying to say is that, you know, Inspirabot is still at least twice the man that ImageFlip will ever be. the day that a single ImageFlip can compete, then we'll see.
Hey, it's been competing all day.
Okay. All right, buddy. Well, do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Show you what I got to flex.
Yeah.
So it's a fairly close up shot. You got a guy sat at a desk. Looks very much like a businessman. He's got his suit on. He's got his watch, his tie. He's, you know, things are quite cut off because it's quite close in. So you only see from his sort of chin down. He's motioning like he's talking to somebody off screen. You've kind of got in this close-up, you've got the clutter on his desk, you've got papers, you've got a glass, a nice bit of water in there, probably. Could be drugs, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, he's got his laptop out and all this kind of stuff. And it's all got this, like, green tint across it as well for some reason. But there's red text in the middle that just says, keep on sacrificing. Stay clean.
Stay clean, Seattle.
Stay clean. Yeah, stay clean, Seattle. And maybe I hear the news are calling the salad and scrambled eggs.
Look, it's all right.
Yeah, come on.
But this will fucking kill your meme.
All right.
Well, I'll do this one first because the second one is brilliant. Sorry. So it's the template of like the skeleton sat on the bench. Like the fucking waiting for.
Oh, right.
And it's, this one is waiting for the next season of Condom.
Of like, what?
Of Condom. Hey, yo, Condom 2's coming out, baby.
Waiting for the next update.
Finally, Condom 2. And then this one is like, fucking, I can't believe how perfect this is specific to you.
Oh, God.
Because of your one of your favorite games and literally how you make a living. Because it's the... It's the Drake template of the Hotline Bling template.
Yeah.
No thank you, yes please. And it's like playing Apex Legends. And then it's like anything else.
Person on Twitter.
ImageFlip is coming for you.
I heard about
Inspirabot, and it was like, I'm fucking coming for this man.
Oh, that's all right. All right then. That's an all right one. That's good. That's good. I like that. I like Apex, man. I think Apex is good. It's doing well for itself. And yeah. I'm not pressured at all to say this by my employer. I'm not. This is genuine.
Okay. Sure. But yeah. Thanks for listening. And yeah.
Keep it fresh.
Yeah. Get to fuck.
Yeah. As our signature catchphrase has always been, get to fuck.
Get to fuck. but oh yeah. Yeah. Bye. Yeah. No, I was trying to think of a fun way to end it, but I guess
a Krabby Patty secret formula.